Saturday afternoon, 2:50. We're up against the gun here. We wanted to get our picks in. So we're going to do a short pod tonight. We're going to talk about Bill Belichick's girlfriend. We're going to talk about the Cubs getting Kyle Tucker. And then we're going to close with the pick six. So it's the sports life. We're talking sports. Let's go. All right, this is something Caden led me on to. Now, I know there was big news this week with Bill Belichick. The big news that he's coaching North Carolina, which I will say, you know, that did take me by surprise from the standpoint that I thought for sure you'd see him again in the NFL, which you still might. I mean, the way college is these days, if it's not working out, the deal I read was that he could be gone after a year or something like that. So we'll see what happens with that. But ultimately, all the Belichick talk, it ended up coming to my knowledge that Bill Belichick has a 24-year-old girlfriend. And Caden told me about it. And then I'm thinking, he's coaching college. He's got a 24-year-old girlfriend. I guess this girl was like an ex-cheerleader or something like that. And he met her on a plane. I read this. I started looking into this because I was so baffled by the fact that Bill Belichick is dating a 24-year-old girl. I mean, it just makes no sense. It's a bit disgusting in my mind because I just, as I get older in life, I keep thinking to myself, like, when you see these really old guys dating these really young women where it's obviously about money and the whole situation, like, I can't imagine, like, them being around each other's families at the holidays, like, no one taking this stuff serious. It just doesn't make any sense. Like, what could a 72-year-old have in common with a 24-year-old? There's nothing to talk about, the generational differences. I just found it surprising, especially with a guy of Belichick's personality who seems to have such
a
dry...
He's like a stupid guy. Like, he's not a guy that's going to be like... Like, I could, to be honest, if any, like, old 70 type of guy with Dan's 24, I would say Pete Carroll. Because he has, like, a really good personality. He's, like, really energetic and stuff. Like Pete Carroll, but I don't see Belichick. Belichick can barely talk in like the interviews, and now he's like, I could have seen Pete Carroll, but not Belichick.
It's funny you mentioned that because I was kind of thinking the same thing. I was trying to think of these older coaches, and you know, one of them dating a younger woman. And you're right, Pete Carroll, a guy with some energy, a guy with some spark, a guy.
Or
that
like when Dan Campbell gets older, I still think if Dan Campbell, like I kind of felt like if Campbell, when he gets older, he could date somebody pretty young because of his energy. But
His energy, he's kind of jacked, you know. Yeah. And I look at Belichick and I think he's a grandpa. Basically.
Is he making that much money? I mean, how much money?
Yeah, Belichick's worth. I think I looked that up too. I think they say Belichick's net worth is like $75 million. Oh. So Belichick has done very well for himself. He's obviously coached in the NFL for a long time.
He was retired. I think he was like doing some post-game stuff or...
Yeah, he was on TV. I mean, Belichick's fine financially. This is how this stuff happens, Caden. I know you're young. You probably don't understand it all, but a young lady like that is not dating an older man like that unless he's got money. So money's the number one thing. But again, like from the perspective of being 48 years, he's literally three times as old as her. And I just don't see...
That's disgusting.
And again, Belichick is a guy, and I never looked into his personal life at all until you told me about this 24-year-old girlfriend. And I guess he's been divorced a few times, which doesn't surprise me. An NFL coach that probably spends, you know, for a big chunk of the year, he's probably working 15-hour days. He's never home. They're traveling all over the place. So it's not really good for a family life. Again, this is just a joke. I mean, look it up. If you guys haven't seen this, look up this girl. She's basically a kid. And the fact that Belichick's dating her to me is one of the funniest things I heard in the last month or so. It was just really, it was just hilarious. So I don't have anything else to say about it. The North Carolina thing, I mean, again, Belichick going from being considered probably the greatest coach in NFL history, if not one of the top three, essentially, to coaching a kind of like middle of the road
Carolina's
program,
not even like a, they're not a football school.
No, they're a middle of the road college program. I think they went like 8-4 this year or something like that. And it's. I mean, Belichick is the type of guy. I don't know. I don't think that his coaching style and personality really works well in college.
Yeah.
I just think like kids nowadays, they don't want to get yelled at. You know, he's in your face. He's kind of being like a really serious type dude. Nowadays, a kid will be like, you know what? Maybe I'll just go to a different school. I'll just transfer out. I mean, there's just – it's been the athletes have more power nowadays than they used to. Belichick, you know, I think had a hard time in the pros with that too. He had a hard time with the characters, the guys that really were like me guys instead of team guys and stuff like that. So in college, maybe, it'll be interesting.
I think, I'm not really sure. Like, I feel like when he gets, maybe when he gets older, I really don't think that.
Older? How much older could he get?
Well, I'm just saying, I think he's going to lose energy. Maybe he's not going to be as like strict. I don't know, but I think that he's definitely, this is definitely interesting, because I also believe there's a question, because he's a great coach, but he's also had all of his success with Tom Brady, who's arguably the best, one of the best quarterbacks of all time, and he didn't really do anything without Tom Brady. So I mean, maybe there's a question about that, but this is going to be kind of a, to be honest, neither way, win or lose, I think that Belichick is only going to be in North Carolina for a couple of years. If they win, I mean, if he can load North Carolina, that'll be very impressive. He'll end up in the NFL. I mean, if he can prove that he can win with an average college team, then definitely he can win with an average NFL team.
But it's crazy to think about us having a conversation about Bill Belichick having to prove that he can win at the college level. This guy's one of the greatest coaches in NFL history. I'm saying it's strange. It's strange that he can't get a job when you have guys like Matt Eberflus coaching one of the biggest franchises in the NFL in the Chicago Bears. This guy's got a job, but Bill Belichick's not coaching. Bill Belichick's probably watching on TV going, these decisions are easy. Like the clock management stuff, this is easy stuff. And he's watching what's happening across the league. It's not just the Bears. There's many teams that are doing this stuff. I mean, there are teams in the league that know how to lose football games, and there are teams that know how to win. Carolina Panthers, Chicago Bears, New York Giants, New York Jets. You could go down the list. These are losing football teams. Every week, they find ways to lose close games or get blown out. Carolina has been our cover monster the last couple weeks out of nowhere, covering every spread on the books. But when it comes winning time, they lose. They blew it against the Browns. Who they 2 weeks ago? This week, Leggett dropped a pass. And before that, they were in business. Oh, it was the Bucks. It was the Bucks. I'm sorry. They had the Buccaneers on the ropes, and they blew that one. So, again, that's what the NFL is about. And Belichick was the type of guy that he built the New England franchise. Yeah, Brady was there those years, but again, when that thing first kicked off, Brady wasn't a top quarterback in the league for many years. Even after all the way into probably his third Super Bowl at least, Brady was not one of the top quarterbacks in the league, in my opinion. Belichick really built that franchise, and then as Brady kind of made it to that second coming in his career after he had some really big statistical years, then they went on another run and won another three Super Bowls after that. But there was a pretty big gap in between where Belichick was, you know, having success but not Super Bowl success, winning the AFC East every year, essentially getting into the postseason but not making it all the way to the, you know, to the Super Bowl. So, you know, I'll parlay this into the conversation with the Bears, right? Like, you got this guy who's a great coach. He's proven. He goes and signs with a college at North Carolina. What are we going to do here? And I keep coming to the fact, personally, for me, I want Mike Vrabel. I think he's a guy, he's a proven coach. He's a guy that will bring in strong coordinators, strong people underneath him. He's a system guy. He's going to change the culture. I think that's what the Bears need. I worry a little bit about the Ben Johnsons, about guys that don't have NFL coaching, head coaching experience. Again, if that's where the Bears ended up, I would not be disappointed, because I think, like, you know, if you start talking about Vrabel, Ben Johnson, you know, if those are the top two guys, I definitely wouldn't mind having one of those. I wouldn't mind having Shanahan either, who seems to be, you know, really struggling with the 49ers right now, but he would kind of be my third in that line. But again, it's Vrabel for me, and I know guys will look, oh, he was only, I think he's got like maybe a 58% winning percentage as a coach. But that team, look at what Tennessee did to him at the tail end in terms of the pieces that they were giving away. He was a winning football coach there with a team that didn't have a great quarterback.
Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, I mean, I really like Vrabel. I think he's the call. I think the Bears need to be on the phone right now getting that guy set up so that he can start putting the pieces together for next season.
Yeah, when you're looking at a coach, I think you got to – yeah, it's important to have – to, you know, to look for a coach that overall is a good coach, but you also have to put into perspective about the guys that he brings. I think it's extremely important to bring a guy like – like, you know, Shanahan or Vrabel, who's proven that they can, you know, coach in the NFL. But I also think it's very important to see the guy, other guys they have, because again, when you look at the Bears, I mean, they can have a good coach, but when you if you have a guy where the Bears were, it kind of seems like they have got they have their offensive coordinators calling the plays. If you have a great coach and then you have a guy like Shane Waldron calling the plays, it's not going to work. So I think I like, you know, I like Ben Johnson, but like you said, I think with Vrabel, he has the guys, he has the consistent guys he can go to because he's been a coach, or even with Shanahan. So as much as I like Ben Johnson, I like you said, I think that I'd like to see him coach first, and because not just he's not because he's not a bad coach or even with Thomas Brown, he doesn't have that crew that he just have that crew that Vrabel and Shanahan could go to.
Yeah, Vrabel's a game changer. I mean, Vrabel's going to come in and bring a whole new culture. He's going to bring all the pieces. He's going to be allowed to hire his staff. That's what the Bears need to do. So like I always say, this is what they need to do. So this is probably not what they will do. And yeah, that is just the history of the Chicago Bears and this franchise. We'll see what happens. Hopefully we don't get some news that they just hired some random person that no one's heard about, because that's kind of
did they fire Eberflus guys when he got fired?
I don't know who Eberflus brought in. I don't know who his guys were, type of thing. Not real sure on that. I just know that the Bears, you know, let's just hope for continued progress out of Caleb. I mean, Caleb right now, just under 3,000 yards passing, 16 touchdowns against 5 picks. He gets sacked too much, yeah, but again, if he was throwing those balls up in the air and he ended up with 10, 12, 15 interceptions, people would be really killing him for that. So he plays really well in the second half late in games. He puts together good drives, doesn't turn the ball over late in games. I mean, I think the kid is going to be the real deal for us. If there was a redraft today, I still want Caleb Williams number one for sure. I do like Daniels, but there's some things I don't love about Daniels. And I think May looks like the real deal, too. I think there's going to be some really good quarterbacks that come out of this draft. Bo Nix is having a good year. And Penix, you haven't seen yet. I think you're going to see Penix soon.
Oh, yeah.
Kirk Cousins really struggling. And then we haven't seen, obviously, J.J. McCarthy either because of his injury. So, and that'll be interesting to see what happens in Minnesota there, what they do with Sam Darnold and the whole situation that they've created there with the type of year that they're having. But, again, I'm excited for Caleb. I'm excited if the Bears can make a good decision here and bring in somebody and let that person work, they will have success with this team, because they do have some good offensive pieces there. They do have a good defense. All they need is the guy that's going to bring it all together.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the Bears, with the Eberflus firing, and this is kind of the only reason why I feel like the Bears maybe should have kept Eberflus. I know you might disagree with me, but because I think that it's actually worse. I love the progression that Caleb is doing, but when you're having, when you have, you know, two different offensive coordinators and two different coaches, the progression, I think I said this a couple weeks ago, the progression is going to, it's going to change because you got so many different coaches game planned. It's going to be hard for Caleb to get into his true comfort zone. But, and again, I confidence-wise, I don't think it is, but like, you know, I just feel like it's going to affect Caleb the way if it's, you know, maybe one coach, like maybe like one coach, Caleb's going to take more shots. Another coach, he's going to get rolled out of the pocket more. I just feel like Caleb needs to have
he needs consistency.
Yeah, he needs consistency. And I feel like, you know, you get a guy like Thomas Brown. Let's say the Bears went out or last year, you know, the Bears were almost made the playoffs. And that's a big reason why they kept you losing. Like you said, you know, maybe they go out of those streak. Thomas Brown's not going to be the coach. But if you keep Eberflus, I say no matter what, if they would have kept him, even if the Bears had success, I still think they would have fired him, and then he would have started fresh. But now there's still question, are they going to keep this Thomas Brown guy if the Bears have success?
It's a wasted year. You know, it was a wasted year from that perspective. The one thing I can't believe is that early in the season, we were going through the schedule. We all thought the Bears would get to 9 or 10 wins. Even with Eberflus, we all thought they would get to 9 or 10 wins. And looking back on it, I'm thinking, I knew he was a terrible coach. How did I think that they would get to 9 or 10 wins?
The Bears' schedule was set up for Caleb to have. I think the Bears' schedule was very, very good for Caleb because it started out easy, and then the bigger games were in the later weeks. I think if Caleb would have gotten on that little roll, there was only one time where I really felt like comfortable with the Bears really rolling. And again, it was their easiest part. It was Jacksonville, Carolina, and the Rams. Well, not in order, but yeah. But I think people were expecting the Bears to really get Caleb and the team confidence until we face teams that where we are right now. And that just never happened. Especially when you look at the games like, you know, the Patriots, the Cardinals. You know, those were the games that we were expecting to Caleb to patch up his numbers and get confidence. And now, you know, the coaching and everything else, now we're in a spot where we haven't won in 2 months.
Right. All right, enough Bears. Before we move on, final thing I'll say is Bill Belichick's a creep.
And Hunter's winning the Heisman.
Don't even get me started on this Heisman stuff. We want to talk a little Cubs. Hunter's going to win the Heisman, yes. He doesn't deserve it. Genty deserves it. He's the NIL social media star, Travis Hunter. Genty's the guy, 2,500 yards, 30 touchdowns. Every time he stepped on the field, the other team knew he was going to get the ball 30 times. They still couldn't stop him. I don't want to hear about it.
Nobody can stop him.
Hunter's done playing. His season's over. Genty's on Boise State, first round bye, and he moved his team. He's got his team in a first round bye position. Can't be any better than that. They're already in the semifinal.
Let's see how he does. I say he chokes.
Gets good competition. Check his numbers against Oregon. Check it. Okay. Check his numbers against UNLV. UNLV was a top 25 team all year. Look it up. And Oregon's the number one team in the country. Nothing like that. Hey, look it. Colorado had a chance to get into this playoff by beating Kansas. They couldn't do it. Supposedly, and I think it's a fraud, they got two top five NFL players.
It's not a fraud.
Two top five guys. You can't get past Kansas to get your team to the playoff. All right, they padded his numbers
later
in the season.
It was the refs.
Look it up, the last four or five games.
Did you watch the game?
They padded Hunter's numbers to make sure he gets this Heisman. Ashton Genty's getting robbed.
Can I ask you a
and
question?
I'm done with it.
Can I ask you a question? Did you watch the game?
Yes.
No, you did not.
I watched a loss to a sub-500 team,
you watched
Kansas.
The refs screwed Colorado.
By the way, they also lost to Nebraska. They hardly played any
Nebraska
competition
was
the whole season.
Team for the whole half of the year, and then they fell
and
off.
And again, they padded his numbers, okay, in game situations that don't matter, where Genty was the bell cow. He's the guy, when he came to town, the other teams knew they had to stop him. They started stacking the box on him, and he was still breaking big runs every single game.
Listen,
he wasn't a guy
I
just
feel like
buried
I'd rather see
a kid.
A guy at the Heisman who's doing multiple things to help his team than just one thing.
Ashton Genty deserved the Heisman Trophy this year. He's getting robbed because of this Travis Hunter social media NIL craze.
He plays
okay.
both sides
hey,
of the
we
ball.
Talked about it earlier He's... today. Deion Sanders, Coach Prime, is the equivalent to, what was the ball's dad name? What was his name?
LeVar.
LeVar Ball. This is the new LeVar Ball situation with his kids overhyped. Totally overhyped. Look at what we got with Lonzo. I mean, Lonzo, these guys were supposed to be top players in the NBA. LaMelo, again, LaMelo's an all-star, but again, he's a 30-a-game, he's a 28-a-game guy on a team that's no good. Every team in the NBA is going to put up over 100 points a game. Okay, so those points got to come from somewhere. I'm not a big LaMelo guy either. So the point being is sometimes these parents, because I see it, Deion looks at himself as like a parent of these kids, including obviously he is a parent of the quarterback and then a kid like Travis, and he's built them up. He's built them up, and they're going to have to show their stuff when it comes time to play in the NFL at the highest level, not playing mid-level college ball week in and week out against very average 500, sub-500 teams week in and week out, where a lot easier to cover those wide receivers. I want to see you take on Amon-Ra St. Brown. I want to see you take
Travis
on Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase. I want to see that. And by the way, if you're not a DB, Travis Hunter, I want to see you at 5'9", 185, going up against the best DBs in the world as a wide receiver. Good luck with that. I want to see how that shakes out.
He would be the number one pick as a DB or wide receiver.
Well, we're going to
and
see
he's
how.
Bull.
I think it's a bad call. Again, Bears, Chicago Bears, please stay away from
I help
Colorado
the
players.
Bears.
Stay
Ryan
away from Colorado
group.
Players. Get us some offensive linemen.
No.
Protect the kid. The Bears got it, all Bears. Right? Get me Vrabel. Get me an offensive line. The Bears will be in the playoffs next year.
And Travis Hunter.
We don't want Travis.
You can
look, I'm not saying he's not a great player and a great athlete, but again, I believe he's overhyped right now. We'll see. If he does it in the pros, I'll give him his due. But right now, in my opinion, right now, he's overhyped. That's just my opinion.
Okay.
We're moving on. All right, we got to talk about the big splash that the Cubs made because we know the Cubs never really do anything, okay? So the big splash they make is they trade. Cade, why don't you cover it? Cover the trade. We got Kyle Tucker from the Astros. Go through it. Who'd we give up?
We gave up Cam Smith, who was a top prospect that we drafted. Hayden Wesnacki, where I actually never really liked Wesnacki. And Isaac Paredes. This trade is really setting up for Suzuki to play fully DH.
I like that.
It looks like they're going to trade Bellinger because there's really no room for him, especially with Bush at first. And then Tucker and Wright, PCA and Sarah Happ and left. So it looks like with this trade that they're going to trade Bellinger and hopefully they can get somebody, a pitcher or somebody.
Here's what's going to happen. We're gonna trade Bellinger for sure. I think you're right. They're setting it up for that.
With the Yankees.
They're going to keep Horner. Uncle Clint's going to owe us a game because he didn't see all these
Shaw's
pieces.
I heard Shaw's going to third. And then.
But Tucker, I looked him up. I mean, Tucker is young. I mean, again, here's the thing with the Cubs that drives you crazy. If Tucker has a great year next year, we're going to have to pay him. And then are they going to pay him? Because we only got him for 1 year. So you start trading away pieces for a one-year rental, which I don't love that, but I do like the fact that we got a quality player. I mean, Tucker is 27 years old. Last year, he did not play a full season. I think he only played like 90 games, 23 homers, 49 RBIs. But in 2023, he had 29 homers, 112 RBIs, 30 stolen bases. I mean, he was almost a 30-30 guy. 30 homers, 107 RBIs in 2022 with 25 stolen bases. He doesn't strike out a ton, which I thought he did. When I heard that initially, I was like, oh, man, Tucker, I think he's a big strikeout guy. He's not. He's never struck out 100 times in a season. His batting average last year was .289, again, in a shortened season where he only played 78 games, but he had 80 hits. I mean, we're talking about a real player here. I mean, this guy, offensively, he's something I'm looking forward to. I didn't love getting rid of Paredes, but it was a good trade for Houston. It's a good trade for Houston there because he's a dead pull hitter, and they got a short left porch out there, left field porch in Houston. I think that's going to be a good fit for Paredes. And again, when I want to beef up our corner infield position, I don't want to take away the star from Tucker here because I think that he's going to be a quality player for the Cubs, and I do like this trade. I like Suzuki at DH. I like PCA in center. I like Happ and left. I like what's happening here. But again, this trade means nothing to me if we don't go make a move for Vlad Guerrero. We got to make a move. We got to go pay that guy. Vlad Guerrero is 25 years old. He's an absolute stud in this league. We need a quarter infielder for the next 10 years. We need a first baseman. We saw Vlad live. He's awesome at first. He's a really good athlete. He looks like he's a little bit on the heftier side, but he moves so swiftly and smoothly. I'm a huge fan of this guy. I think that if you really want to compete, if you want to win the Central and get to the postseason and give yourself a chance at the Dodgers, you have to go get Vlad with Tucker and then solidify your starting pitching. The trade I saw proposed was they would get Vlad Guerrero and a starting pitcher from Toronto. I can't remember the guy's name. He's one of their best. I have to look that up. He's like 35 years old, but he's pretty solid. And then we'd give up Bush, a prospect, and one other guy. So we need to start thinking about making moves.
Oh yeah, I think it's like Bush, Owen Casey, and
I looked up a potential trade. Suzuki's not in it for sure. Suzuki's not in it. It was two guys. Bush being the main guy in there and a top pitching prospect is who it was. So we got to make a move for Vlad Jr. I was saying it last year. I definitely have him rated a lot higher than a guy like Pete Alonso, who, again, if we got Alonso, that would be great. But that's the deal that I want for the Cubs. Will we make it happen? No. But did the Mets sign? What did the Mets do with Alonso? Because now they got Soto. The Mets are spending some cash. And we talked about the Soto thing 3 or 4 pods ago. I said he's going to one of the New York teams, and sure enough, that's where he went. And the Mets are interesting now, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, they. I still don't think that Soto's worth that much money. I mean, he's getting paid more than a guy that can do. He can pitch and he can hit. I'm a little confused about that. I know he had a good year. I know he at times. He makes a lot of like dumb mistakes, kind of feels like. Especially,
he's not a great right fielder.
Yeah, he's not a great right fielder. I kind of saw this thing where I was like, it just showed like a highlight reel of just all the errors Soto made. I know it took a very long time to make that video because he doesn't make a lot of errors, but the errors he does make, it's kind of stupid. Like, he like charges down balls and the balls get past him. Like, he makes kind of some
dumb, he's trying to throw guys
he
kind of
makes some dumb plays. And also, I feel like he's still very young. And if he doesn't go out to a hot start, I think it helped that he's going to get, like, he got less money with the Yankees and that he got to a hot, he starts to a hot start. But if he gets off to a cold start, he might feel the pressure, and then he's going to try to have to be Superman, and that might not be good for him because there's going to be a lot of, there's already a lot of pressure. I mean, he's the best contract. And,
yeah, the highest contract ever.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, this Soto deal is going to be very interesting to see how that plays out, given that he's under contract until he's in his 40s. I mean, that's the amazing thing is that when guys go, yeah, they're going to be paying him $50 million when he's 40 years old. And I always think to myself, not really. The way I really look at it is when people think that they're paying, they go, oh, it's this many years and this many million dollars. I think about it like a curve. Like, look at the fact he's in his prime right now. They're actually, in their minds, they're paying him over $100 million a year right now. They need these next 6 years out of him. And then after that, he becomes, you know, probably more like an $8 million a year type of player at that point. So these contracts, when you look at the lifespan of them, you go, oh, 15 years, 16 years, 700 something million. I don't look at just averaging it out per year. I look at it like legitimately, this is a business. These players are businesses. And they're saying that Soto business for the next 5 years is worth over $100 million a year to that franchise. That's the way they feel about it. And to me, it's not a bad business decision. If you think about the Shohei Ohtani situation, right? This is why I thought the Cubs should have made the move, because as a business, Shohei is worth over $100 million a year as a player because of the jersey sales and the international interest and all those other facets that come along with Shohei Ohtani and the marketability of him makes him a business in and of itself. So that's why these players are getting so much money. And will they end up being great like LeBron James at 40 years old? Probably not. I mean, the chances are in baseball. I mean, God, the last guy that was good in his late 30s was probably Bonds, where he was really still putting up big numbers. The closest to delivering on a long contract was probably Albert Pujols, where he delivered late into his contract, where he was still a solid player. But even Pujols' numbers from when he was in his prime with the Cardinals, they took a significant drop off with that Angels contract. So again, here we go, the Cubs. Let's see what happens. Let's see what other additional moves they make. This Tucker one, I believe, is a good move. We need offense. I believe if he's healthy, he can put it together, give us 30-plus homers, give us 100-plus RBIs, along with Suzuki, who can, I believe, contribute the same way. We had one more piece there, and now you're in shape to win the Central, get to the postseason, and see what happens. And the Cubs do have a pitching staff right now.
Oh, yeah.
I liked it last year. I think that they still need to bolster up the back end of it, but the Cubs can get themselves in position, but they got to keep making moves. You can't stop here.
Yeah. I feel like everyone's so excited, but you know, it's a good pickup. But you know, I still think the Cubs need to beef up their bullpen. I think that their starting rotation is good. I think that I like Shota, I like Steele. You know, we let go of Hendricks, but I think you know, I think that I like J-Mal, Taillon. He's pretty good. But again, you know, we let go a couple guys in our bullpen with Musnecki and Alzolay. So I do think that our bullpen is a little short because, again, with some of the guys, you just don't know what you're going to get. And our main guys, when we made a playoff push, Leiter, Merriweather, Alzolay, I mean, hopefully, I think Fulmer's coming back this year. He missed a full year. But again, you just don't know what you're going to get from these guys. So I think if you're a Jet, I mean, we did get Eli Morgan, who's pretty good, but we just need some more depth because I'm just concerned that we're going to have 3 to 4 guys we're going to have all year, and then when it really matters, they're going to get hurt. So we need some more depth. We need some more. The good news is we have some good arms in the system with Killian and Kate Horton and stuff. So I think that because of how good our starting rotation is, I don't think that big time throwers that we have are gonna. I think that they can really help us in our knees, which is our bullpen. So I think if we're going to be fine, but I think a couple arms will definitely add some depth and prevent injury. Hopefully we'll get this new look bullpen better.
I agree. All right, let's take a break. All right, we got to close with our pick six. We had a down week last week. I don't think we felt really good about our picks even as we made them.
No.
We did get a Carolina cover last week, and that was one of our only two wins. Some of these games, I mean, it's just, let's be honest, it's hard to pick NFL games. We came off a 6-0 week, went 2-4 on the bounce back, and now we're going to look to try to hunt down another six this week. It feels like it's getting harder and harder in some cases. Look at that stinker on Thursday night. God, I'm glad we stayed away from that game.
Yeah.
I mean, a bunch of field goals. Neither team could score. I think it was a Rams. I think the Niners were favored in that game.
Yeah, jogging out. That guy got cut.
Niners favored by 2.5 in that game. And, yeah, they had a linebacker that just quit in that game.
Yeah, I think he got cut.
He got cut. I mean, come on, man. You're getting paid to play a game. A game you probably played since you were 5 years old. You're going to walk off the field? I don't get that. But anyway.
By the way, this is totally off topic, but 2 months ago, yesterday was the last time the Bears won a game.
Let's not mention that. Were we there? Did we see their
fourth win? London.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We saw probably their second win. We were at
We
were at their best game. That was the best they played
all year. It was the Rams game, then the Panthers, then the Jaguars.
That's when they got on their little run there. All right, let's talk football. Sunday, December 15th, starting with the noon games. Me and you are picking these together. You lost the phone with the 2-4 record. But Uncle Clint would be up. We haven't talked to him in a couple days, so me and you are just going to make these picks. Let's walk through them. We got Baltimore favored by 14.5 in New York against the Giants.
I like that. I like Baltimore.
You like Baltimore covering 14.5?
Yeah.
Dude, that's a big number. Over 2 touchdowns is a big number. Let's keep talking. We got the Jets favored by 3.5 in Jacksonville.
Wait, what?
The Jets are favored by 3.5 playing in Jacksonville. Yeah. Those are tough games. Washington at New Orleans. Washington favored by 7.5.
I'd stay away.
Cincy at Tennessee favored by 4.5. I like Cincy.
Yeah.
Cincy's offense has been rolling. I'm feeling like covers out of them. I think they were our other win last week, weren't they? Cincy over Dallas.
Yeah.
That was our other win last week. So let's stick with Cincy. When teams are being friendly to you, you stick with them outside of maybe the Carolina Panthers. We'll get to that in a moment here.
No, we got
Miami at Houston. Houston's favored by 2.5.
Houston, I like Houston.
You like Houston covering at home
against
Miami? I don't hate that. Kansas City at Cleveland. Kansas City favored by 4.5.
Absolutely.
It's, man, Jameis Winston is hard to bet for, and he's even harder to bet against. Because you just don't know what you're going to get there. I kind of like KC covering the 4.5 there, but we're gonna keep talking. We got Dallas at Carolina. Carolina favored by 2.5.
Carolina
favored over Dallas. And dude, Dallas has been playing decent.
We got to go Carolina. Come on.
We might have to just because they've taken care of us now. I think it's two weeks in a row. I thought it might have been 3.
Come on.
2 weeks
we have to.
I'll click it, but we're going to keep talking. Buffalo at Detroit. Detroit favored by 1.5. What a game. This could be a Super Bowl preview right here. This is the game we need to watch. You got baseball in the morning or in the afternoon. You'll be home by this game. This game's a 3:25 start, so we need to plan for a little couch time for this one because this could be Super Bowl preview material. I like Buffalo in the game. I think Detroit's ready to have a letdown in a game here. But
I like Detroit.
You like Detroit. All right, let's keep moving down the list. Indy at Denver. Denver favored by 3.5.
I don't know.
That's a tough one. There's playoff implications there because I think Indy's still in the hunt. Denver's trying to solidify there. Don't love it. All right, Pittsburgh at Philly. Philly favored by 4.5. I like Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I like Pittsburgh.
I like Pittsburgh in a close game there. I like them covering, even though Philly may pull that one off. I like them getting 4.5. I'll agree with you there. Green Bay at Seattle. Green Bay favored by 2.5. You know, I have a hard time showing confidence in either one of these teams. Seattle's been one of my picks all year where I said I'd like the Seahawks, and now they are up atop their division. but they're just not convincing. I mean, yeah. I could see them getting completely blown out in this game, or I could see, I could see Seattle getting blown out. I couldn't see Green Bay getting blown out, but I don't love to pick that game. Green Bay favored by 2.5 in Seattle. Actually, that the line even surprises me a little bit. No one's got confidence in Seattle, apparently. Okay, Monday night duo. Two games Monday night. Oh, my God. How'd they end up with Atlanta and Vegas on Monday night? God. Oh, and then they threw the Bears at Minnesota in there. The Bears at Minnesota. Minnesota favored by 6.5. What do you think about that? Minnesota favored by... I kind of like it, too. The Bears... We picked the Bears last week. That was an embarrassment. I can't see the Bears... The way it looked last week, I'm with you. We're taking Minnesota. And you know what? If the Bears stay inside 6.5, we get to cheer for the Bears. It's a win-win. Do you like this? Excuse me. Do you like this Atlanta at Las Vegas favored by 4.5? I stay away from that.
I kind of like Vegas.
I kind of like Vegas there, too. I'm Atlanta, they're sticking with Cousins. Cousins seems like he's reminding me of Breeze late in his career, where Breeze couldn't, like, his arm was dead.
I remember in 2020, I was a huge Saints fan, and I remember just, like, one game against I think it was the Bucks in the playoffs, and it took 2 hours for him to throw the ball to, like, a screen pass.
Yeah, he's having a tough time. Now, we got 6 picks in the books. We just happened to pick 6 here, so I'm liking it. We're going to submit it. I mean, we're right on the number, and I will announce our confirmation right here. Okay, so here's what we went with. Our pick 6 of the week. We have Cincinnati on the road against Tennessee covering 4.5. That's game 1. Game 2, we got Houston at home covering 2.5 over Miami. The third game I don't remember picking, so we're going to have to look back.
What is it?
I actually liked the pick. We didn't even talk about the game. I must have accidentally clicked it. I got the Chargers at home covering 2.5 over Tampa Bay. We didn't even talk about it, but I picked it. I kind of like it too. I look at it, I'm like, I don't even remember talking about that game. Okay, Chargers at home covering 2.5 over Tampa Bay. This is the pick sent from the gods because I didn't even see it on the list, and it popped up on our confirmation, so we're taking it. We are taking Pittsburgh getting 4.5 on the road in Philadelphia. We are taking Minnesota at home covering 6.5 over the Bears.
It's hard to play in Minnesota.
Minnesota has they're continuing to win football games. I don't trust them 100%, but they're continuing to win football games.
You can trust them against the Bears.
And if I could trust them against anyone, it would be like the Bears, Panthers, the Giants, the Jets, or you know, the Browns. These franchises that continue to make mistake after mistake. And our final pick is one of the bad franchises that I think has had some look decent a couple times this year, and that's Vegas. This is kind of our iffy pick of the week, I would say.
Yeah.
Taking Vegas at home, getting 4.5 points over Atlanta. The thing I like about taking home dogs like this is that they're dogged at home. They could still find a way to lose that game late, and we still cover. Yeah. A lot of times you find a way to lose a game, you end up losing by a field goal or something, and we still get the cover on that. So that's our pick 6 for the week. We are done with that, and we are done with this pod. So this has been a short one. It looks like we're at just under 40 minutes. We appreciate everybody for listening. We're going to try to get this thing posted before the games go live tomorrow so you can ensure that our 6-0 record here is not being picked after the games, because we're going 6-0, man. I could just feel it, especially with that pick sent to us from the heavens, this Charger thing. You know what that had to do with? That had to do with the fact that we saw this week that Harbaugh was interested in coming to the Bears. The Bears were not interested.
Oh, yeah.
Ben Johnson interested in coming to the Bears last year. The Bears not interested. And we end up with this Eberflus clown. You saw the show that took place this year. That's why that pick was sent to us, and it's going to work. I think we're going to have a good week here. I'm liking these picks. I do not want to come on next week and have to talk about failure. So I'm hoping for at least a 4-2 here.
Yeah.
Everybody, thank you so much for listening to the pod. We appreciate it very much. Remember to like us, follow us on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your pods. We also got an RSS feed. We're at rss.com. You can find us there. That one's free of charge. So if you can't find us free on Apple or Spotify, we're always free on RSS. We appreciate everybody. You guys have a great day.